This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's go to GPD in Hayward. Hi, GPD. What's good?
What time does he come on every Wednesday? I got to put that on my calendar.
3:15, GPD. Don't miss it. We're already counting down to next week.
Man, he faded you guys. Dibbers, please. It's a tip, and he told you exactly what it was. Let me give you an analogy. That's like me showing up. I'm a contractor. I show up to the inspection. The inspector comes. He's a 25-year contractor, and now he's a 60-year-old OG inspector. He knows the code book in and out, and I try to tell him what I did. And he was like, no, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. Blah, 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 blah. My bad, homie. I back all the way up. Tell me what I need to know, sir. Man, I love Cosell. He was great. He's the ultimate, bro. I feel a lot better about bang, bang, Niner gang. I'm going to be out there in Concord tomorrow, man. Love you guys.
Nice. Enjoy
you
that.
You too, GPD.
At the veranda with Steiny and Goo.
Look at the tape. The Niners are 5-0. I want you to just look at the tape, Dibs.
Yeah.
They're 5-0.
Yeah. And that matters for absolutely not a thing.
Actually, that's not true. I'm kidding. But
of course.
No, but I would argue that how the Niners are looking on tape, how they're executing, what they're trying to do, what's usually happening, does matter. It does matter. Like, I think Greg's point, one thing I heard, you tell me if you agree. What I heard him say is that football teams are going to go out there. There are no mysteries. Everybody knows what the other team's going to try to do. They know what their tendencies are. But they're going to go out there, try to impose their will, and execute better than the other team. And the good teams, the ones who do it really well, that's usually going to lead to a win, but not always. And yes, some things are flukier than others. And I don't think he argued that the Niners have been fantastically perfect. Like, he did love your red zone thought. He's like, that hasn't been good. And that's a big part of what's going on. But it does feel to me like Greg feels that this is going to even out over time. And yeah. I think I don't think there's anything unfair about that.
There's nothing unfair about it as long as that actually happens. And you can be happy with how you've looked on tape, and you can be happy with your execution in general, even though you're 2-3. But you have a chance tomorrow to go out there and do that, execute, play well, and win a game. And if you go out and do what you did against the Rams and do what you did against the Cardinals, which is execute and hold the ball for longer and gain a bunch of yards and play better than the opponent but still lose, then for me, it doesn't matter for a hill of beans. And, you know, he talked about him being a process guy, and you pumped your fist because you're also a process guy.
Love being
a
process guy.
I'm a results guy more than I am a process guy because, yeah, the process is great, but your results, they stink. And if your results continue to stink and you don't go to the playoffs, who gives a crap about your process?
There has to be overlap there because it's a results-based business. So I'll agree with you there, but I do think that is, for example, it helps explain how, for example, you might be a little bit more unsettled about where the 49ers are right now than I am, because you're a results-based person.
Yep.
And they're 2-3, and that sucks. And I agree with you 100%. But I'm a process guy, and to me, while the 2-3 sucks, I'm going to continue to hold on to my very, very clear belief that this is going to normalize, that the Niners have outplayed the opponent 4 out of 5 times, and that this will get better, despite the fact that the teams they're about to play, in theory, are better. Like, that's my belief, and I could be proven wrong, and tomorrow night might be another fluky loss if Greg wants to call it that. I don't even know if he'd call it that. Yes, you're only allowed so many of those. And they've done it twice against teams that are wildly inferior, my opinion. But that's why I hold out that right now I do. I believe that this is going to look better as the season continues to evolve.
It has the past 3 years, yes. And it has over the Shanahan tenure. And so you're probably on the right side of the probability that it will look better and the results will fall in line based on the process, which the process has not been terrible. It's been the results that have been the bigger issue. And I don't want to get too far ahead because we have a game tomorrow against Seattle, but you are at a rest disadvantage against Kansas City, which is a big thing, and you're at a similar disadvantage against Dallas, which is a big thing.
I think it's a thing.
I think it's a big thing.
I know it's less
of a thing when you're at home than it is when you're on the road.
And they are for both of those games.
Yes.
Yes.
But I do think that it's a pretty big thing when you've got a Kansas City team that'll be coming in off a bye, and they're undefeated.
Yep. Yep.
And Dallas will be coming in off a bye, and they look like they might be getting things right offensively.
They do. Why? Because one pass got completed on the last play of the game on Sunday night. They look awful.
Results. Results.
But to say they look like they're starting to get things right, that like in order the last play of the game on fourth down in order to score 20 points. I know Pittsburgh's a good defense, but again, I have not watched any Dallas games yet this year and come away impressed.
Yeah,
none of them. But that's okay. Yeah, like you said,
3-2.
Austin in San Jose is next. Hi, Austin. Thanks for calling.
Hey, fellas. How you guys doing? Enjoying the conversation, the back and forth. Dibbler, you handled it like a pro, man, with Greg. I enjoyed it. It was funny, but you handled it very well. Greg kind of tried to slap you down a couple times, but I think you came back at him, and I think you stood your ground. You handled your own. I always say you try to channel a little bit of Lo Neal in your program, so that's all good. It's not a problem. But, yeah, so keep doing what you're doing. Listen, this whole process, discussion, Will, and I'll kind of agree with you. I think process matters more in a developing team where you're trying to get to a certain point. You're trying to teach technique, make sure you follow the process to get to success. But I think results matter more in a team like the Niners where you've already proven that the process works. And what you need is results. I mean, look at Kansas City. You could say that they're not playing great right now, but they're 5-0. So
right.
What would you rather have? Would you rather follow the process or would you rather have the results? I would rather have the process. And then the final thing I wanted to say, I wanted to get your opinion, really, Dibley's opinion, yours, my Commanders, man. I mean, right now, like, they're following the process. It's only four or five games, but they're looking pretty good right now. So I would say for a team like the Commanders, the process is really more important as they're developing. But for the Niners, man, they gotta go out and get wins, man. That's kind of my input. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Thanks.
Austin, thanks. It's a great
thanks,
call.
Austin.
First
I appreciate
of all,
it.
Yeah, your Commanders, I'm very high on. Very, very high on. And I remember saying at the beginning of the year, I thought they were still a year away, but I loved their process. I loved what they were doing, and they may be ahead of schedule. And I think it is already realistic to start thinking about them as possibly a playoff team and possibly even winning that division, because I'm not huge on the Cowboys and Eagles. They are not far ahead of the Commanders, if at all. So I'd say that. As far as the process results conversation, though, I don't know what you think, Dibs. In the end, this is sort of a... It's sort of a kind of an eclectic sort of a conversation. The idea is that a good process leads to good results. So they are hand in hand. And when they don't, you sort of have to trust that over the long haul they will. It's kind of how a casino is built. A casino knows that you might come in for an hour and kick their butt, but you ain't going to kick their butt for a year. Their process works. They don't care about result in week one and week two.
It's tried and true, though.
Right, exactly. And
their
this
process
is
built to where they have a 52% edge on every time the card is turned over.
No doubt. But if you ask, for instance, would you rather the Chiefs, so they don't look good, but they're 5-0, and let's say, I don't think the Niners do look that good, but let's say the Niners looked great but were 2-3, what would you rather be? Well, obviously 5-0, unless my thought was house of cards. Here's the example I'll give you there. It'll be a better example because it's football.
Yeah, Philadelphia Eagles last year.
No doubt. Would you rather be 10-1 or would you rather be 8-3? Well, in that moment, and I said it.
You did.
I'd rather be 8-3 because I know that the team I'm rooting for is good, and that team, I can tell, they are not. And they're going to fall apart, and they did. So the process, you hope, over the longer haul, the longer it goes, it's going to play out and then lead to the results. If it doesn't, then what matters more? Obviously the results.
Well, maybe
it's a results-based business.
Maybe the process that you had all this faith in wasn't a good and true process.
Maybe
it's a defensive front that's not good enough. Maybe it's a defensive coordinator who is not ready for prime time. Maybe it's a quarterback who has chosen to scramble too much. Maybe it's an injured roster. Maybe it's a couple of holdouts who didn't come in ready. Maybe it's a head coach who doesn't have a full command of his staff or the team.
But that can adjust.
But maybe your process that you're putting all your faith in is a flawed process.
But my response to that is, and I think it's what Greg was saying, is this process that the Niners are using right now is the same process they've always used.
But it doesn't matter the process if the players aren't good enough to execute the process.
Of course, but again...
Yeah, the process is same offense and similar defense and the rest of it.
And if someone's not good, they'll get replaced. And you will try to find someone who is good enough. And again, I think the track record, that's where this matters. The track record is there that the Niners will be aggressive at the deadline and that the 49ers will be better in the second half of the year than the first.
I like the second part of that. I mean, aggressive at the deadline, if you're looking at what they're going to do. Like last year they brought in Chase Young. Okay, and how much did that appreciably help your defense?
Not great.
Maybe a little bit.
It wasn't perfect.
Christian McCaffrey? Well, yeah. No, there's an upgrade that really helped your team. And if you want to look at, and we still have a full month until the deadline. I think it's November 2nd.
Yep.
So we've got four more weeks of football, and you want to talk about what they need to do to improve this team. It's not just one thing. So then it becomes a little bit more difficult at the deadline to improve your team and really improve your process.
Sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts, 888-957-9570 is the number. But get this, this will be super interesting. Speaking of Christian McCaffrey, this guy coached him, and he was a head coach in the league as recently as last year, and he's calling the game tomorrow night. Ron Rivera is going to join us next on Willard and Dibs.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to Willard and Dibs.
So what was on the menu? Seven steaks? Two whole chickens?
I went and got a giant Wagyu steak for him.
So I'm ecstatic about that.
On 95.7 The Game.
So you know how director of sports Lucas Alexander likes to grab things that we say?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then put them on Twitter and make our life hell?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know how... No, that's what we do here. It's fine. I'm not, like, mad at it. That's just, right. This is what we do.
Yeah, it's kind of his job.
We show up.
I'm angry, Jeff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we talk about stuff. We're given 4 hours, so there's a lot of stuff. And then he'll grab, like, one quote and put it on Twitter so that thousands of people can line up and fire insults at us for the next 24 hours till we come back and talk again. That's the cadence.
That's the bit.
Yeah.
What did I miss?
Well, this one was, he put up my quote, "It's not a must-win game." Ron Rivera in a couple minutes, by the way. "It's not a must-win game, but the 49ers have got to win this game. Don't get schnookered by the records. Seattle is not good." First response: "Okay, L.A. and Arizona weren't and aren't good. What's your point?" Next response: "Can you really say the Niners are good after what they've done?" Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not someone that's going to look at this year as a mutually exclusive product. And I think that that's kind of what Greg was getting at. Like, aren't there any points for a tried and true method? The 49ers have been good every year for a number of years. So is it crazy to think that even with some changes, that they will figure things out and be good again this year? Don't you think that they are better than the majority of the teams in the league?
It's possible.
Yeah.
You can be better than teams and still not win games.
Of course. Of course. I mean, let's bring Ron Rivera into this conversation. River Island's guest line, the coach is joining us, who apparently, I bet, had a great weekend. You were out at game day, huh, coach?
Yeah, it was, man. That was something else to be there. I'll tell you what, those guys do a heck of a job getting everybody all fired up and ready to roll.
And having that at Cal, where you obviously played some time ago, that had to be pretty special for you to see the crowd, the Berkeley kids, the students, and everybody rally behind college football at Cal.
Well, you know what? To me, it was just indicative of the sports fan and the fact that it gets lost on who they really are at the university just because, you know, so many of those students are so serious about their academics. But what it does show you is that they do want good football and they do want to come out and support. It's just a matter of having a reason to get out there. And, hey, we saw a pretty good one on Saturday. You know, they had an opportunity to win a football game.
Hell of a game, hell of an experience all the way around. Ron Rivera joining us on Willard and Dibbs. All right, Ron, you're doing the game tomorrow night. I think we'd love to start by just kind of getting your initial thoughts on these two teams and what you've seen so far this year.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because Seattle started strong. They were 3-0 and lost two in a row. And what's been interesting is I've been trying to find the connection or the reason as to why. And one of the big things you see is right now it's the inconsistency of what they're doing on defense more than anything else. You do see some things that are on the offensive side that are really kind of showing as well. The running game has been good, but in terms of total yards, but what's a little bit of a misnomer is in the last couple of weeks, most of their running or a good piece of their running is coming from the quarterback as he's scrambling it around. So there's a little disconnect right now as far as their offense is concerned. And so because of that, they've lost two. To me, the 49ers still don't know their identity. A big piece of who they are is missing, and that's Christian McCaffrey. I get it. You know, his replacement rushed for over 500 yards so far. But what's crazy about that, though, is look at where they are on in the red zone. They were number one last year in the red zone. I believe they're 30th in the red zone this year as far as scoring touchdowns are concerned. So there's a little bit of something there, and I think a big part of it is you miss the diversity of who Christian McCaffrey has the ability to run the ball and come out of the backfield as a pass-catching threat.
So when you lose Christian McCaffrey, how do you maintain your identity? When you mentioned it, Coach, he's a pass catcher, he's a ball carrier. Jordan Mason's right. Not quite the same. Do you change your identity, or do you try to make your identity still work with the personnel that you have?
Well, I think they try to make it work with the personnel they have. You know, they've just going to have to shuffle in back with better set of hands to come on out. I mean, what Jordan's done has been fabulous. It really has. It's been spectacular. But, again, that dual threat, when you have one guy out there, you can hide and disguise things a little bit better. And that's what I think is missing a little bit on that offensive side of the ball. Plus a little continuity with the wide receivers. You know, once they all get settled in, I think they're going to be back. I think Brock Purdy's playing solid football for them right now. And you'd like to, you know, have everybody in sync on the same page. And I think now you're going to start seeing it. To me, these next 4 weeks for the entire league, not just, you know, the 49ers and the Seahawks, but this is going to really tell you a lot as to who the contenders really are and who are the pretenders.
Okay, interesting stuff. Ron Rivera joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Like, Coach, I wonder if you had this experience ever with any of one of your teams, which is, hey, we're moving the ball, but then we get to the 15 or the 10-yard line, mm-hmm. and everything stalls. What does that tell you about a team when that's the case?
Well, it does tell you that a piece of what you have is missing. I mean, you know that when Christian McCaffrey is part of what you're doing offensively and you put him back there, the defenses don't know, you know, they can't just clue in on just him and say, okay, when he's in, it's run. When he's in, it's pass. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's always that dual threat. So because of that, you can't call your defenses accordingly. Now all of a sudden you start bringing guys in, so, oh, this is a pass catcher. Oh, this is the runner. So now you can kind of zero in a little bit. And I know Kyle's doing everything he can to mix it up and give different looks. But when you have the guy that's used to doing it, the guy that knows how to do it, and Christian, that's a big loss for them right now.
Is that really Kyle Shanahan's biggest advantage, is his use of not only personnel where you have you know, two running backs, two tight ends, whatever, you can have Juszczyk, a pass catcher, Debo running back. Yep. Is that what Kyle does better by personnel and by scheme than anyone else?
I think it's one of the best things he does. I'm not going to say better because you look at some of the things that, you know, that they do in L.A. with the Rams, they do in Miami with the Dolphins, although they're struggling a little bit. But guys that can come in and have those different personalities out there, those different skill sets, that makes it tough for the defenses to clue in on you. It really does. That's what Kyle's done so well the last several years and why he's had so many successes. He knows how to use his guys and get the most out of them.
Ron, I got two Christian McCaffrey questions for you because you coached him right out of the gate in his career. All right, so so first, have you talked to him this year?
I haven't had the opportunity. I've been so busy. It's one of those things, you know, I used to say, man, I don't have the time to do things I want to do when I was coaching. Now, all of a sudden, I'm working in the media, and I don't have the time to do the things I want to do.
Time, right? I mean, right? Yeah, so Ron Rivera, who's calling the game tomorrow night. My next question was, based on what's happened in his career, Christian is one of those players that at times gets the injury-prone label. When he was with you, he never missed a game, and we know his attitude. But is that fair? What's your perspective?
Well, the thing about Christian, more than anything else, is he gives you everything he got. He puts it all on the line. And we had to try to slow him down. Now, I was very fortunate to have him, but I was only there three seasons with him. And we used to have to take him off the practice field. And it wouldn't be surprised me if it's a little bit of wear and tear showing right now. But to be quite honest, this break right now might be one of the best things going on for him. And if it's, if hopefully in the next couple of weeks he's back out there, I think you guys will see a rejuvenated guy that's going to come out and really be a lot more fresh than everybody else at the right time for the 49ers.
We've talked a lot about the idea of a Super Bowl hangover, and I know they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they played 20 games last year. They went deep in the season. How challenging is it for a team to go to the final game and then bounce back again and try to ramp it up again?
It's very challenging, very, very challenging, because first of all, you got to understand there's an emotional portion of it that nobody understands, okay? And they've done this, and it's happened mostly to the NFC teams. Okay, it happened to us when I was in Carolina in 2015. We get to the Super Bowl, we lose, and so we lose the Super Bowl. You got to live with that all the way up until the end of May, beginning of June, and then the new schedule comes out, and then we became the first team in like 25 years to have to play the opening game against your Super Bowl opponent. So for the next 5 months or 4 months, whatever it is, we lived it every day. Well, you're opening up with Denver. It's a revenge game. And what you have to be careful is you put so much energy into winning that first game, into starting fast, that all of a sudden you lose, which we lost by a missed kick on the at the end of the game as the clock ticked down. We missed it wide right, and we had to live with that as well. So there's a big emotional drain on the players to begin with, Not just physical, but it's emotional. It does get a little bit into your psyche when stuff like that happens.
Ron, it's week 6. We've already seen a coach get fired in the league. Kyle Shanahan goes to the NFC title game every year, but the heat is on him every week, especially after a loss when things don't go right. What is your thought on the way pressure comes at head coaches these days, and is it worse than it used to be?
Oh, it's worse. It's definitely worse. It's not just on the coaches, but on the players as well. And there's a thing called social media that really does drive a lot of it, and a lot of that's unfair because people that start things and say things are people that aren't in the know, that don't understand, that have never been in those shoes, or really don't have any connection. But they just throw stuff up against the wall, and it sticks. And it does. And it's very unfair. I mean, for what Kyle Shanahan has done in his tenure so far in San Francisco, there's probably 24 teams or 22 teams that would die to have a guy like him running their organization right now. So people ask me, hey, everybody just calm down. Give him an opportunity. Things change and happen in the next 4 to 5 weeks. That first week is really just kind of finding out who you are. There hasn't been a lot of great football played in those first few weeks. You're just starting to see it. I think last couple of weeks you started to see things start coming to their own. And it's interesting because you look at the Commanders and the way they started. Well, Jaden Daniels, that quarterback, started hot from the beginning and has been able to sustain it. Caleb Williams, his first couple of games weren't very impressive, but now you're starting to see him come to life. And this is happening throughout the league for every other team. It's just starting to happen. The teams are just starting to gel. And those that are contenders are going to start stepping up, and you're going to see it. These next few weeks, I think, are going to be telltales as to exactly who teams are going to be.
Yeah, and if the cream really rises, then this team, the Niners, heading into the bye, should be one that does rise. I'm thinking about who hit the ground running, and I can't help but think about Fred Warner of the 49ers. And you had Luke Kuechly on your team. How would you compare these two as elite linebackers?
That's exactly it. They're elite linebackers. They lead their team. They're the air traffic controllers on what goes on in defense. I mean, they're directing people. They're making calls. They're making checks. You know, they're setting the tone and tempo when it comes to practices and meetings. You know, when you practice and play the way those guys do, the other players around them, they raise their standards. They raise who they are because of guys like that. And that's what I see from Fred. I see a guy that's a high-action, high-impact type guy that other players feed off of. And it's, you know, you're very fortunate when you got a guy like that, you know, leading your defense.
All right, so Ron Rivera, who again is calling the game tomorrow night, I mean, based on the comments you're making about how things are just starting to come together and become evident, how do you sort of see the matchup at this time?
Well, you know, it's going to be a real interesting matchup because, again, if you go back to last season, San Francisco, Baltimore, and you look at what Mike McDaniels did defensively and how he attacked the 49ers offense, you know, I think the intrigue is going to be real interesting because, you know, this is what the big matchup is to me as far as I'm concerned. I know it's both teams are playing each other, but I think it's two really good young minds. You know, Kyle Shanahan on the offensive side, Mike McDaniel on the defensive side as to who's going to win. I'll tell you what, the players will settle this game for us.
Short week, what do you do as a head coach between licking your wounds after a disappointing Sunday loss and getting ready for a Thursday road game?
Well, the big plus is both teams are licking their wounds. So, again, that right now should be a moot point because both teams have gone through it. The hard part, obviously, is they had to travel today, probably traveled sometime late in the afternoon so they can have a good walkthrough. But I was reading some of Kyle's comments. It sounds like they're just keeping things simple. They're probably using a portion of what they had installed last week and carried it over to this week. I think that they did well in the game. They're probably going to want to use again as well. And then every now and then he's probably had two or three wrinkles. But I promise you this. This past offseason, Kyle Shanahan and his offensive coaches got together and said, well, Mike McDonald's now in our division. We need to prepare for this. You know, for what he does defensively, I promise you they prepared for it. And then when they found out that they were playing on a Thursday night, it was going to be a short schedule, a short week, they probably worked on during training camp some shorter version of what they want to use going in against these guys.
Coach, earlier in the conversation, you made a reference to a couple of the 49er players kind of needing to ramp up at the beginning of the year, and I assume you're referencing guys like Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams who missed the most, if not all, of camp. What's the thought there from a coaching perspective? Because the Niners now 2 years in a row have had some major names miss camp. And so there's a lot of curiosity about the process of contract negotiations. How damaging is that when a player misses camp?
It is damaging. It's tough. It's tough for those guys to get back in the sink. Now, you can tell me, and again, I, you know, knowing who both those guys are, I promise you they're in phenomenal shape. But there is a thing called football shape, and that makes a difference. It really does. And because, you know, while you're lifting weights, you're not being pulled and pushed and torqued and turned and twisted. You know, that's what happens on the football field. Things are completely different. You know, as far as that's concerned, as far as catching the ball, you know, the route running and the timing is so important between you and the quarterback, between you and the other receivers. Because a lot of the routes that they run are complementary to other receivers. And again, if you're running a high-low and you're the low portion, you don't want to be so far ahead of the guy running the dig behind you that the safety can pass you off and get right back into the throwing lane. So there's all these little things that they've got to be able to work back in. And that is one of the things that worries you. You know, I mean, again, guys that you know, they deserve to get paid. I believe me, Trent Williams, I think, is the best tackle in the league, especially for what Kyle Shanahan does. And is very important. Brandon Ayuk is a threat and a guy that needs to be on the field. And again, once those guys have really kind of come together, and I think they're there, I really do. I think this is the time that we should really start to see them play well.
And hopefully it comes tomorrow night for 49er fans. I'm wondering how much you've delved into Seattle and what they did last week where Kenneth Walker, who's been such an effective running back, got just 5 carries on the day. What do you think was the Seattle thought in a game against New York where they only gave their bell cow 5 carries?
That was surprising, to be honest with you. I was a little bit surprised as far as that was concerned. And I talked about, you know, the big thing that's changed is in the first three games, they were running the ball. I mean, they really ran the ball well. In the last two games, the quarterback has been one of their primary ball carriers in terms of yards gained running the ball. And that's a little bit of out of character for who they want to be, especially with the way they started.
Coach, next week we are blessed with the opportunity of getting to do a show from John Madden's studio here in the Bay Area. Wow. Yeah, do you have a favorite Madden story from through the years?
You know, I was very fortunate. Yes, I got a great story. So it was after my second year as a head coach in the league. You know, my first year we were 5-11. My second year we were 7-9, and we were progressing and we finished very strong my second year. So each year I would sit down with the owner, go through the season that just happened, and then talk about what we wanted to do go forward and how we wanted to get better. And as I was finishing the conversation, I said to him, I said, you know, one of the things that I need to do is I need to find somebody I can communicate with and talk with. I mean, you know, I was 3-13 in games decided by one score or less. And that's how close we were to being a better team. But I needed to know how to get myself over the hump to help get the team over the hump. Well, I was talking with Jerry Richardson, the former owner of the Panthers, and he looked at me and says, Ron, you know John Madden. Why don't you reach out for him? Give him a call. He'd be a great mentor for you. And I said, really, you think so? He said, absolutely. In fact, he had his number. He was ready for this conversation. He pulled his number out and gives it to me and says, give Coach a call. So I called Coach Madden right after I got done with this meeting. I went in my office, called him, and he and I talked for about 5 minutes. And I said, Coach, I'd love to be able to come out and see you, speak with you, just talk football. And you know, if you could help mentor me. He said, Ron, I'd love to do it. Hey, I hear you're 3-13 in games decided by score or less. He said, why don't you go back, look at those games, and see what you could have done different. Well, yeah, he told me that, so shoot, I went to work. I pulled those 13 games we had lost, and I started looking at them. I started breaking them down. I wrote this 20-page report, and this immaculate report about time management and choosing whether to punt or kick or go for it, all these kind of things. And so I get to his office the following week, and we sit down, and we start talking, and we're BSing a little bit, and you know, just talking ball and stuff. And finally I said, hey, I got that report you wanted me to do. And he looked at me and goes, what do you mean, what report? I said, the one on me being 3-13 on games decided by a score or less. He said, look at me, goes, that wasn't for me, that was for you. What'd you get? What'd you learn from it? I punted here and I kicked here and, you know, it's kind of going by the book. And he looked at me and he said, Ron, what book? I said, what are you talking about? I said, what book? There is no book. I said, well, you know, I punted when you should have punted. I kicked when you should have. He said, Ron, there is no book. You know enough football that these are the things that you should consider doing, going for it on fourth down, making the big plays happening. It's okay to blitz in certain situations and take your best shot instead of sitting back, stuff like that. But you know it better. And what happened was it made me realize that what I was doing was the safe thing. It's what everybody expected you to do. And that's when I started going and thinking about fourth down situations. And so the next year opens up, and in our first game at home against the Giants, we went for it twice. And on the first drive, we went for it on fourth down twice. In fact, the last one was fourth and one, and we score. And as the offense is coming off the field, Cam Newton looks at me and says, Coach, thanks for believing in us. And I'm telling you, it's like, and that's when everything turned around. We went 13-3 that year and won the division for like the first time in 8 or 9 years. And a big part of it was having, you know, John Madden sit there and mentor me and talk to me and show me how to do things.
So are you telling us that basically John Madden is behind why you're called Riverboat Ron?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly, because what happened was, you know, I did it again in another game against Minnesota. I went for it twice on fourth down in the first drive. In fact, it was fourth and three the last time from the goal, you know, goal to go. And we ran a shovel pass to Michael Tolbert, and he caught it and ran it in for a touchdown, and we win that game. And they asked some fans, so, hey, what did you think of Ron Rivera going for it on fourth down? And this one guy said, well, I'll tell you what, old Coach Rivera, man, he was out there like a riverboat gambler, that riverboat Ron, and that's how it started.
That's so great.
There it is.
Fantastic. And a tie-in with John Madden. Well, we are really looking forward to being out there next Wednesday, and I really appreciate that story because it encapsulates exactly John Madden and his influence on many people in football.
Oh, without a doubt. And one of the really great things is when you win a game, by playing hard physical football, and he calls you and says, "Hey, Ron, that was quality football." Man, that just lit me up. That was one of the best phone calls I've ever received.
Woo, good stuff. Hey, Ron, have a great call tomorrow night, and thank you so much.
All right, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Riverboat Ron.
John Madden. That's right. So many things go back to John Madden, and I'm sure John Madden would tie a lot of what he learned to, you know, the people who came before him in the league. But, man, you think about, like, young people like Grandy and Lucas in their late 20s and early 30s, Madden is a video game.
It's a video game.
And, you know, people like you and I remember as a young kid the tail end of his Raiders coaching career, but for you and I, it's more Madden the broadcaster and Madden the giant personality, and so every different generation has a different idea of John Madden.
And I guess before us would be Madden the coach. I mean, for me, it was Madden and Summerall.
Right.
Madden and Summerall, you know? But yeah, there's all the different generations of it, and in the true legacy that celebs I think care about. I mean, this man is no longer with us, yet my gosh, the trails that he has left and the mark that he left on all of these different aspects of the sport, never ever ever gonna go away.
Right. And just that story right there from Ron Rivera about, you know, becoming Riverboat Ron. Thanks to a great conversation with John Madden. That's awesome. And now every coach is Riverboat Ron.
If you go for it on fourth.
Right. He was one of the first ones to really do it that aggressively. And it's like, oh, he's a gambler. And now the book tells you that you need to go for it.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, Brandon Staley got fired for being Riverboat Ron a little bit too often.
But if they would have executed those plays, he still would have the job. Yeah, and that's where all of this comes from.
All right. So back to you at 888-957-9570. We are just over 24 hours away from a game. And a very, very big one for sure. Is the 49er offense everything it's cracked up to be? 888-957-9570. Did Greg Cosell make you believe again that the Niners are the best thing that's ever happened to the sport? It's kind of what it sounded like. We can get into all of that, and we will. Coming up, we're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, weathered and dips.
Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
Sorry. I got caught watching what the Warriors just put out on social media.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
You kept saying across the console, "Have you seen this?"
Oh my gosh!
No, I haven't.
It's so funny. So, it's tweeted out by the Warriors themselves, so you can go watch it.
Okay,
it's about a minute and a half long video. Pajemski's in it, Curry's in it, Draymond's in it,
Pajemski,
mm-hmm. Looney, and Kuminga. They give them
a piece. Joga.
Yeah, we do. They played a joga on you, is what they did. They hand them a piece of paper that's got a bunch of random sort of letters and sounds separated by hyphens. And they're like, "This is a code for a word. Can you sound it out? What does it say?" Well, for example, one of them says J-A-W hyphen N-O hyphen the word think.
Okay.
So jaw. No, think, ah, mink, ha. And they're like, what is this? And he's like, jaw, no, think, ah, mink, ha. Jaw, no, think, ah, mink, ha. And he can't get it.
They're like,
say it fast. So they did this with all six of them. And most, like, so, you know, it takes each of them a different amount of time to get it. But I didn't get to the big finish. I think Kuminga at one point finally gets, oh, because they're even like, say it fast.
They're doing it to him,
and he
too.
Goes, Ja, no, think, Minka. They're like, no, faster, say it faster. Ja, don't think Kuminga. Oh, got it, my name.
Nice.
So for all of them, it's their name. And for Steph, they use Wardell instead of Steph to make it a little harder. Anyway, I got enthralled by it.
It's That's pretty funny.
It's playful and funny.
Good. And that just reminds you that the season is afoot.
It's coming.
They got a preseason game tonight against Sacramento.
They sure do. They sure
are
do.
Are we airing that right here on 95.7 The Game?
Yep, 7:30 tip-off right
here. Come on! Mm-hmm. Are you doing like a pregame soiree or anything like that? No? You're doing your normal thing, right?
Yeah, best of.
All right, yeah. Oh, I don't know anymore.
You probably hear Ron Rivera coming up again in an hour
plus. Yeah, he was fun. Yeah.
Just
he was
don't,
tons of
do
fun.
Me a favor. Don't play the Greg Cosell. I don't know if I can handle that.
Odyssey app or YouTube if you want to hear Dibs get served.
Repeatedly.
I mean.
It was like Brock Purdy on Christmas last year.
You have bruises. I'm looking at you across the room here. You got bruises.
I pride myself on doing a lot of homework on these football games, and I also pride myself on how much I've learned from football, from Lo Neal about football, and I kind of grind on it. I'm no Ted Wynn of The Athletic. I'm no Greg Cosell. I'm not Brian Baldinger. These are film experts. These are people who are far better than I am at looking at the film and knowing what's going on. But I consider myself, you know, at least in the intermediate class. And then you talk to a Greg Cosell, and he all but sunned me
on
five different occasions. I got sunned.
You did, and that's okay, because I don't want to know ball at that level. I really don't.
I kind of do.
Well, here's
I'm into getting better at it. For me, it's like a foreign language.
No,
when you try to learn a language, it's like, I can speak a little bit of football, but I want to be fluent. I don't necessarily want to, you know, be able to travel in those circles, but I want to be able to kind of hang with the big boys.
Here's my point. Greg Cosell's never sat down and watched a game with a brat. That's not how it works.
I watch with a brat.
Yeah, well, that's
true. She's two.
But you know what I'm getting at?
Yep.
Greg has never had nacho cheese stains on his pants while he's watching a game. And for me, that's part of it. I want to know. I want to understand. But I always want to be at a spot where somebody can also explain it to me a little bit. I know maybe more than the average. I know what the A-gap is. But when he starts doing, what did he call that Kittle route? He called it something.
It's a stick nod.
Stick nod. I'm like, I thought that was a band.
Last week was Bang 8.
Yeah last
you
week.
You guys don't play Madden, do you?
I do, but I told you, I picked the same route.
Stick and nod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, before the play, I know where I'm throwing the ball, because I have to put my thumb on the button that I'm gonna throw with before the play, or else I'll miss it. If I try to do it just hot route, I just start slapping the controller all over the room.
Once
it doesn't work.
Once controllers went beyond two buttons and a pad, I was out. Like the original Nintendo, you had the up, down, left, right, and you had the A button and the B button. No, I was still good.
I will play you. I have no problem with that. I will play
a lot of field goals.
I will play other people north of 45 years old. I ain't playing no teenagers.
Dude, it's not fair.
It's pointless. They're like, you're so stupid, Dad. You don't know that the Z button is back behind over here on the little underside? Like, why didn't you hit that?
I'm
like,
stiff arm is R1,
like,
dummy.
What? Seriously. They're like, Dad, you should have done a spin move. I'm like, how do you do a spin move? Oh, all you have to do is stand on one leg and press a button that's hidden. Like, what?
I don't.
What are we doing?
And when I do start to play really well, I have carpal tunnel. My hands hurt.
We have, look, listen.
How old are we?
We often sound old. We've never sounded this old. We should abort.
Give me Atari.
I mean.
The one red button.
So stupid.
I get it.
But anyway, yeah. Like, I like watching a lot of this and knowing a good amount, but also holding on to just, like, dumb fandom. Like, I don't ever want to lose that. Greg Cosell doesn't ever, like, stand up in his room and yell, run the ball! He doesn't do that. It's just all facts and fiction. That's it.
He stands up and yells, "That's a great stick nod."
Yeah. Or
look
something.
Look at that bang eight.
Yeah. Like, it just, I don't know. I want the fandom to still always be a part of it. And the fandom is tucked into not really knowing everything that's going on the inside, and that's okay.
It is, and this is why I watch the games twice, because I watch it the first time as a fan, and I'm into it, and there is, at times, nacho cheese, and there might be a Truly or two, and then, doing what we do for a living, I want to be able to bring a deeper depth of knowledge, so when I watch it again, and you always make fun of my notes, and I'll hold it up to the YouTube audience.
Well, apparently they're not working.
Well, they're not deep enough. I need to watch it a third time.
You watched the game twice and took copious notes and then got served.
Yeah.
By Greg Cosell.
Well, I could have gotten him on a couple of other plays. I'm not trying to win the interview. I'm just trying to advance the conversation and have him bring his expertise.
But you did. You won the interview by not winning the interview.
I'm just trying to not lose the interview.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I took the L. Today I took an L, and next week I won't bounce back.
Tomorrow you'll bounce back.
Yeah. Well, I will with my Thursday night lock, because I'm ready. I'm ready to go on a heater.
Do you know what was interesting, though? Greg Cosell, when you brought up, first of all, you are on a heater. You still don't get it. Don't you get it?
Thank you, Steiny.
You are on a heater.
I don't know what you mean. I've been losing every game.
And that means we win, which means you're on a heater.
Hashtag fade the dibber.
No, it's called fade the dibber.
It's not called ride the dibber.
It's not called follow the dibber. It's called fade the dibber.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I think I've lost three. I think I've won three in a row.
You brought up.
4 or 5.
What's my man's name? He was a defensive coordinator for the Seahawks?
Mike McDonald.
There's too many of those, by the way.
Well, Ron Rivera mentioned Mike McDaniels a few times.
Well,
Miami.
That's the head coach of Miami. That's what I mean. And then isn't Mike McDonald like part of the Doobie Brothers or something like that?
Yes. You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Okay. So anyway, look at Granny.
I was
Lucas.
Raised they're here like, in this living
like,
hell.
Who are the Doobie
you
Brothers?
You gotta Google it.
So anyway.
I know who the Doobie Brothers are.
Sorta.
Cheech and Chong, right?
Sit down, Lucas.
That's a five. That's a damn five is what that is. That was well-timed and very funny. That was
very good. So anyway. You said to Greg Cosell, Mike McDonald, am I right? On Christmas, he ran circles around the stupid Niner offense. Before you can even say it. No, they didn't.
Seriously.
No, they didn't. The Niners ran circles around him. They just got tipped balls. But they moved the ball up and down the field. And if you do actually go back, if you feel like watching the first quarter, the Niners were moving the ball at will. And then Brock made a bad read in the red zone, threw a pick. And then things got out of hand and whatever. Sure, Lamar did his thing. That's the other side of the ball. But he brought that up and knocked you down. And then what does Ron Rivera say when he comes on the show? He goes, well, the interesting thing is Mike McDonald really gave it to the Niners last year on Christmas. So you should have referred the two men to one another. I would have loved to hear a mano showdown between Greg Cosell and Ron Rivera over whether or not the Ravens defense actually slowed the Niners down last year or not.
Yeah, and you know, you could say that they went up and down the field on Baltimore, and that would be mostly incorrect, and I'm looking at it here. Yeah, the Niners went down the field. They went 74 yards. Brock throws a pick. Niners get a safety. It was 2-0 at that point. Niners get a field goal. They're up 5-0. And then they get the ball back. He throws a pick. They get the ball back. He throws another pick. 3 picks in the first half. So right. I don't know if that's going up and down the field necessarily.
No, they're moving the ball, and then a couple of them got tipped. And they were picks. Yes.
Well,
that's Greg's way of looking at it. It's very mathematical.
The third possession, they went 5 total yards, and he threw a pick. So that, for me, is not going up and down the field.
How many plays was it?
4 plays, 5 yards, and a pick.
Yeah. So how do you get 4 plays if you only went 5 yards? What'd they go for on fourth down?
You get 2 yards. You get three. It was the third play.
Okay.
Yeah, it was third and
well, then that doesn't
third
count.
And 5 pick.
That doesn't count.
Whatever. That's not going up and down the field, but it's neither here nor there. Greg Cosell, smarter than me. I'm going to take the L.
Way smarter.
You're the one trying to get him to question the play calling.
I didn't ask him to question the play calling. I asked him if it had changed. I asked him if there is a tendency that he notices.
Which, you know, is not a question that he's going to answer.
No, I don't know that.
We've discussed this.
He does do tendencies. No, he does do tendencies.
He does film.
He watches and film shows tendencies.
But you're asking him to speculate
on... No, I'm not.
That's basically what the question is.
No, it isn't. The question is...
We'll go back to the tape and get exactly what the question was.
No, he said, I don't do play calling, but I honestly, I stand by the question. Because I'm asking, say, compare 2024 to 2023 and just tell me what you see on the tape. Is there a tendency difference? I asked him the same question about Brock, and he said yes. He said, yeah, Brock's holding on the ball a lot longer than he used to.
Well, that's something that he can see on tape.
You can see handing the ball off or throwing it on tape. It's on tape. Is there a tendency switch? I didn't ask for his opinion on it. I know not to ask him that. Mm. Hey, Greg, you think Kyle Shanahan should be on the hot seat?
I think you stepped in it. Now, I'll have to go back to the tape.
Oh, I don't care if I did or not.
I'm going to have to go through this interview with a fine-tooth comb to see where I may have had a misstep.
Oh, gosh. Look, see, people are so excited about this. 707 just sent in on the Comcast business text line. Did you guys already fade the Dibbers? I mean, literally, this is like somebody looking for drugs in the street.
Yeah.
You guys got anybody? You guys got any of that fade the Dibbers in their pocket over there? You got any extra? There's no game tonight.
No, tomorrow.
We're not fading the Dibbers tonight.
And the There's pick no is in. I'm going to save it for tomorrow, but.
I know the pick is in.
I'm going. Thank you. I'm going live on Seattle Radio at 6 o'clock, and I'll get one last little bit of intel from behind enemy lines.
I'm leaving at 5 tomorrow.
You can leave whenever you want.
No,
I'm making the pick at 4:30.
No, because if you pick the 49ers, I might attack you. I might climb across this table if you pick the Niners.
Please pick the Niners. I got to see this.
I'm not saying what I'm going to pick. I already know what I'm going to pick, and the pick is in. So... Whatever the pick is.
The pick is not in. It's not being accepted yet.
Okay.
The window is closed, Dibs. You can't pick the game yet.
Yeah, you're not on the clock yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. You All can't right. make the it draft the... hasn't opened yet.
Thank you.
This is not Thank one you. Of those times where I'm going to flip-flop. And I've done that before and I've been burned. I know what pick I'm going to make, and the pick is in. Go ahead.
I've never seen this text before. This just came through also.
Oh, I don't like this. I don't like the way this sounds.
No, time for the legal, guys. Wow.
Time for the legal.
If you can text it to us before we do it, dude, we're having a rough day. Hey, we're having a rough day today.
I appreciate that, 949. Thank you.
Yeah, but where the hell were you? You didn't say it either.
I was busy wondering what the hell Dibs is going to pick tomorrow.
That's a good point.
And you know that legally you have...
Till 5:05.
Right. And yes. The whole thing about...
I'm not new.
Well, you feel a little bit like a newbie because...
Time for the legal.
Excuse the me. Idea of the legal. If the legal. You don't do the legal, what happens?
Nothing.
Thank you. Do the legal.
Don't say that. Do it, please.
Yeah.
Oh, time for the legal.
It is. It's
time for the legal.
It's my favorite job. Then do the damn legal.
Do you only do what you're asked if, like, there's a tangible result immediately?
You're Mr. Process versus Results.
Yeah. If your wife says, would you be a deer and run to the store and get some baby carrots? Do you look at her and go, what's the net result of that? Or do you get the keys?
Time for the legal.
First of all, there's no such thing as baby carrots. I'm not dealing with a two-month-old.
What do you mean there's no such thing as
She's
baby
two.
Carrots?
She's two. She eats carrots.
No, baby carrots. The cut. The baby. Not for a baby. The baby carrot.
Yeah. Take the big
you
carrot
really
and
You really never have
it.
Been to a grocery store before.
I'll see
what
you
What is
in
going
the
on
eyes.
Here? Time for the legal.
I'm trying to get him to do it.
Okay, we're actually running out of time. You've got to do it now.
Or else.
I just wanted to make you sweat,
Or else
Randy.
Nothing.
That's right. You know what you're listening to? You're listening to Dibs Get Served.
Time for the legal.
Sorry, you're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. An Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
Thanks.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.